I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome back to the Mystery of Hemp podcast. My name is Matt Baum, and I am your host. I hope your quarantine is going well. I know mine has been really good. My wife and I have been trying to keep our spirits up. I've been cooking. She's been working on her cocktailing, and she's getting really good, by the way. If you want to see what we've been eating and drinking, you can follow me on Instagram at YOBOFOFAS. That's YOBOFOFAS. It's a silly name that I use because it's never taken. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the simplest and oldest way to take CBD, and that's actually smoking it. Now, just a word of caution here. Smoking is bad for you, period. Doesn't matter what you're smoking, you shouldn't have smoke in your lungs. With that said, we're not talking about cigarettes here. We're talking about hemp. Not marijuana, mind you, but hemp. Yes, like I said, it's still not great for you. But if you're looking for a very quick way to get the benefits of CBD, I gotta say, it works very well. Before we get into that, though, there's some pretty sad news in the hemp world this week. On April 7th, Charlotte Figge, a 13-year-old girl who kind of became the face of CBD and cannabis and the benefits it can bring to people with serious illness, passed away. According to a Facebook post by the family, Figge died of respiratory failure and cardiac arrest after an extremely severe seizure that was likely brought on by what they think is COVID-19. Figge suffered from Dravet syndrome, which is a very rare and severe form of epilepsy. It begins in the very first year of a child's life. Dravet syndrome causes frequent, intense, and prolonged seizures, and the condition resists conventional forms of epilepsy treatment. Figge's family had tried all manner of different medications, and remarkably, it was CBD that brought relief from the hours-long seizures that she often suffered, reducing their length and frequency. In 2014, the International Business Times called Charlotte Figge, quote, "the girl who is changing medical marijuana laws across America." It was through the lobbying efforts of her family that Charlotte became the figurehead of the movement, and soon lawmakers were changing cannabis laws, allowing thousands of children and others with severe untreatable epilepsy to access CBD. Charlotte helped lead the way to a nationwide legalization of hemp in 2018. There's even a low THC, very high CBD strain of hemp called Charlotte's Web, and it was one of the first strains bred for this purpose, named after Charlotte Figge. And today, the largest CBD supplement brand in the industry also bears her name. They call themselves Charlotte's Web. This is a terrible loss, and it really drives home the seriousness of the coronavirus pandemic and how deadly it can be for those out there with existing medical conditions. Charlotte was amazing, and she was kind of the Greta Thunberg of the CBD movement, and this really is a massive loss. I will have a link to a CNN report that Dr. Sanjay Gupta did where he interviewed Charlotte, and I'm going to warn you, it is a tearjerker. We've also got a great piece on ministryofhemp.com about Charlotte. I encourage you to take a little time and give it a read. It's awful to hear about things like this, and I know there's a lot of bad news out there, but remember, there are things that you can do to prevent further stories like this. Stay inside, wash your hands, avoid groups of people, do the right thing, and stay quarantined for now. We at the Ministry of Hemp just want to thank Charlotte and her family for everything they have done, not only for CBD and hemp in this country, but for people that are suffering, who now have an option of a treatment that could help make their life a little better. Thank you for everything, Charlotte, and I'm glad you're not suffering anymore. My conversation today is with Nick Warrender. He is the CEO of Lifted Liquids and the COO and vice chairman of Acquired Sales Corp. I spoke to him from his warehouse in Zion, Illinois. So you might hear a little noise in the background. He was still working. Nick's got a pretty interesting origin story, and I'll let him tell that to you. But he also has a product called Herb, which are essentially pre-rolled hemp joints that are making a lot of users rethink the way they get their CBD and try it in a very basic and probably the first way humans ever learned to experience the benefits of CBD. This is my conversation with Nick Warrender. Welcome to the Ministry of Hemp. Nice to have you aboard. Before we really get into anything here, you have got a hell of a backstory about how you came into hemp. And I would love to hear this because I set it up a little bit in the intro, but I said no spoilers. I want to hear it directly from him. So tell us about this.
Yeah, cool, man. I mean, I guess one question is how far back do you want to go? If there's anything in particular, it's been such a crazy journey personally and in the business realm.
Let's start with basketball. Let's start there. You were playing basketball.
Yeah. I played basketball at a young age at a really high competitive level, man. Had the honor to travel around and play AAU and go to a lot of different schools and meet a lot of different people. And, basketball was like my life. Absolutely loved it, adored it. And, you know, long story short, through a family vacation, we went on this cruise, and unfortunately, I ended up getting abducted in Belize, third world country.
I don't mean to laugh, but that is crazy.
Yeah, it was wild, man. And it changed my life forever, no doubt.
What happened? You know, what was the story there?
Yeah, so I was with my brother and my best friend, and, you know, you come into these ports, and, you know, we had gotten some weed from pretty much all of these ports, right?
Sure.
Just to be honest.
Sure.
And it was a scenario where, you know, police and drug dealers and all these people in some of these third world countries, they work together.
Yeah.
And they try to exploit tourists. So, you know, we got kidnapped. We got snatched up. We end up like in the back of some truck with rice bags over our heads, like the whole nine yards.
Oh my God.
Crazy thing that ever happened to me. And we ended up getting sold to the police, and the police brought us in, and they really wanted to make a lesson out of us. So we end up in this third world prison, right? And my dad leaves my mom on this cruise ship, and for all she knows, her whole family disappeared. You know, there's no cell phone reception on these things. There's no way of communicating. Just a total mess. And so we found our way in this prison, and my dad had met this lady, God bless her, that, you know, knew the magistrates and knew what was going on down there, and literally lived in like a mud hut, but really was well connected down there. And she helped get us out. She helped get us properly stamped in because we were like illegally now entered into the country.
Oh my God.
After the cruise had left. And it was really crazy, man. When we got back in the States, I ended up getting sick, picked up some virus, you know, unfortunate to talk about in these days, but, you know, I was in and out of the hospital for many years after that and couldn't play sports anymore. And, came across entrepreneurship and this other way to be impactful, still be competitive, but be able to impact people's lives in an even better way. And we came across nicotine products at that point and vape. The vape industry had just started, and, you know, a lot of the products were getting imported from China, and there was a lot of ingredients that were maybe questionable that were being used. And there was only a couple companies here in the States that started making vape liquid. So, we wanted to help people get away from cigarettes. We found that, you know, a lot of research and studies that were being done, vape was had a lot of potential in helping people curb smoking cigarettes, and was also
absolutely
proven in a lot of different ways to be a much safer alternative.
Yeah.
So we did, you know, we started in that realm, and I got introduced to cannabinoids in 2016 beyond THC with CBD and CBG and some of these other things. And it just really felt fit right into our mission, which was how can we help people that really need it the most. You know, I had a really good friend of mine that had OD'd on heroin, and
it's terrible.
That struck for me, and finding out that, you know, people that were dealing with opioid addiction and wanting to come off of it, there was a lot of potential benefits with cannabinoids. So again, you know, like following in the mission of just how can we help make a positive impact, and not only in our own homes and communities, but beyond there, has just been our main focus. And, you know, entrepreneurship and basketball were of real similar, you know, building up a team and communicating and coming up with strategy and finding alliances and having good coaching and all these different things, man. It was like, it opened up like a new life for me. Right. So, you know, I'm thankful for these industries. I'm super thankful for the impact that we're able to have. And, you know, we hear about it every day with good testimonials and just how these products are changing people's lives for the better and what it's doing for them. Well, so
I'm thankful you got out of, you know, forceful confinement in a third world country and found your way home to do this.
Can I
ask,
willing, man.
You said you found your way to cannabinoids that were not THC back in 2016. How did that happen? What was your introduction to hemp and CBD? Because obviously it made an impact. You started a company dealing in CBD. So how did that happen?
Yeah. So I had a few people that were using it, you know, and at that time it was extremely expensive and it was federally illegal, but some of the states were allowing it. Right. So I'm the type of person where if I want to try to take something, I typically like to try to make it myself first.
Sure.
Right. You know, this is again before all these farms are producing and kilos isolate are 25 grand. And, you know, I found a supplier. I think I picked up like 50 grams of isolate. And we brought some in house and found how difficult it was to break this stuff down with a lot of the things that you would need for vaping products.
This was like you were de-engineering a crashed UFO, basically. Like you found the wreckage and you were like, how do we make this technology? And you just sort of tried to de-engineer it from there?
So we got some isolate in, and you know, we were working with polypropylene and vegetable glycerin and propylene glycol and some of these other things. And it was just like, okay, well, this isn't really working. Like vape products aren't going to work for CBD. So, you know, we started moving into like polysorbates. And at that time, nobody even really knew what MCT oil was, right? Like there wasn't tinctures yet. Like there wasn't all like the CBD industry just didn't even exist yet. So, you know, we had finally come up with a solution that worked as like a vape additive. You could add it to your tank. It was all food grade, so you could use it as a tincture. And we started with like a 2 milliliter, 10 milligram, tiny little bottle that was like $4.99.
Yeah.
So people could try CBD without having to spend $100 just to try it. And, you know, we were at this little festival and we rolled these things out. We had people coming up, they put it in their beers. Well, 2-3 hours later, these people are coming back and they're like, man, I haven't been able to open my hand all the way for 10 years. I got the worst arthritis. And it was some immediate effects. And I know there's people that it could take 30 days and some people that it really doesn't even help at all because they have, you know, a healthy endocannabinoid system. But it just seemed like for the majority of the people we would come across, it was helping with all sorts of different things. And, you know, the kind of miracle cure-all that became CBD, you know, we were just finding that depending on what your deficiency is, this thing could help you with all sorts of different things.
You handed it out and people were trying it like in their beers and whatnot and coming back to you and saying, hey, suddenly I don't hurt. What did you give me?
Pretty much. Yeah. And I'm not high and I'm not anxious and some of these, all these other things. Right.
Right.
So I started doing some research on, you know, even THC, like why is there a big percentage of people that don't like THC.
Sure.
Why is there a lot of people that get anxious from THC? And it's like, well, you know, you start thinking about it. The way that we cultivate THC isn't like the natural cannabis product.
Not at all.
You know, we are stressing this plant out and it's just begging to reproduce. And like, that's going to affect the chemistry of it.
Sure. It's like giant genetically modified chickens, you know, that have huge breasts and gigantic thighs and like, you know,
it's not the same.
Not quite the same thing.
Right. So it was like, you know, my dad, you know, or older people from the 70s are like, I used to have to smoke an ounce to get high.
Right.
Because, you know, I wasn't that high in THC. So I found like hemp is, I don't want to say more natural in the sense, but as we still are, you know, isolating it from the male plant and all these other things. But the way that the cannabinoid profile, it seemed to be a little more, it was more broad. You know, sure. You walk into a cannabis dispensary and you might find minor CBG, minor CBD. Most of it is just pure THC.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to get these really vast profiles with all these cannabinoids. And it just seemed like it had a better effect for the majority of people. And a lot of the people that didn't like THC or actually hated cannabis were actually turning a corner. So
right.
It was like, this is awesome. You know, this is where cannabis can actually go mainstream, even beyond what THC, in my opinion, could ever do.
Does Illinois allow growing right now? Where were you guys getting your hemp from? Was it coming from Illinois?
No. So at this point, everything was coming from Colorado.
Okay.
You know, mostly Colorado, and then Oregon started opening up. But yeah, there was really no processing that was being done out this way at that point. And you know, CBD isolate was actually hard to get your hands on.
Yeah.
You know, just you know, and it really wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, this isn't like the last 2 or 3 years we're talking.
This is within a couple of years. So, you know, now CBD is extremely cheap and everybody's got it. But there's all these other cannabinoids and you see all these industries, CBD is becoming an ingredient, you know, and
yeah.
Big industries are moving in and they're utilizing it in health and food and beverage. Cosmetics.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time for Gatorade and Coca-Cola have a CBD drink here. So,
right. So you had this kind of CBD industry that formed, and then you have all these huge industries that are coming in and utilizing it as an ingredient, and it's making it really hard to just be a CBD company.
Right.
Right. It's really hard to differentiate yourself, and you know, there's all this new technology and nanotechnology, and now all these other minor cannabinoids that are being used, and it can be extremely noisy.
Absolutely.
You know, you're just like, what do we do? So we've always tried to be on the cutting edge with, you know, we've had nanotechnology for over a year. We've been doing all sorts of formulations. Well, now what we're finding is people are coming back to flower.
Yeah.
Just like what happened in the THC industry.
It's getting very
popular. Dabs came out with cartridges and disposables and crumble and live rosin and butter. And
I got to say, that's one of the things that turned me off initially when I started learning about CBD was everything was a tincture or in a vape liquid. And I mean, it's cool to look at that and talk to people and go, oh yeah, this is how we make it. And this is where it comes from. But if you just walk up and look at it, well, what the hell is that? Where did it come from? You know, like
exactly.
I know what the flower looks like. And you sent me some pre-rolled joints, we should mention Herb is your company.
Yeah. URB.
You sent me some pre-rolled joints and I opened it up and I looked at it and I was like, I know exactly what this is. And I felt good about it, you know?
Yeah. So it was just kind of funny because where we're at today is the most simplest form, you know, and as with all of the noise and all of these industries and all of these massive companies moving into CBD and cannabinoids and all these things, it's like this breath of fresh air where you're just like, let's go back to the simplest form,
yeah.
Which is arguably the most effective. Inhalation is an immediate,
without a doubt,
absorption rate, high bioavailability. You're getting a true full spectrum product with all the natural terpenes based on that strain and all these other things. Cause I mean, even if you go and you grab a cartridge off the shelf, most of the time, it's just that's the same distillate and it's just a different botanical terpene. So
right.
You're just not getting that variety of what all can come through the strains. So, you know, we're still doing a lot of new technology products and we're looking at all these other industries, but a big focus of what we're doing right now is just flower, man. And it's bringing people back to its natural form, how nature intended it to be and how we can find something that's going to really work for people and they find a good strain for themselves. And it's incredible, man. People that never smoked, people that were totally against cannabis. You know, these people are sparking up pre-rolled joints right now because it's really helping them. So,
My neighbor looked like I was insane.
It's been interesting as a small business with, you know, not having a ton of funds behind us, not having a huge staff, you know, coming into this thing on the pioneer side, watching it explode.
Right.
And then watching what's happening today, which is volatile. It can be really nasty.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we get back to the simplest form and stick to our mission and just kind of keep the blinders on? And regardless of what's going on with all of this, you know, we've been in this industry from day one, you know? So now we just get back to our roots. We find good people that are for the right reason. But you stay aware of the dangers, you stay aware of the nasty people and the nasty companies. And, you know, you just, keep your network right, keep it honest, keep it moral and, do it for the right reasons. So that's kind of been this journey over the last few years and what's brought us to today with this herb brand.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, you know, to just see like, come back to the simplest form, man. And you could probably help the most people with it.
Can I ask you, what was the thought process when you started to move away from, I mean, distillate and from tinctures and liquids and go back to like a pre-rolled flower joint? And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we are literally talking about rolling hemp the same way that you would roll a marijuana joint and smoking it for the CBD benefits, not the THC benefits. And I will say, you sent me a few and I was in my backyard grilling out and my neighbor looked at me like I was insane because I was just smoking a joint. I told him it's not what it is at all. And it did hit instantly. I got to say almost instantly. And I haven't come across that in a lot of other CBD delivery systems. What was the thought process? Was it to get just something that was more pure, something that was easier, faster? I know you guys have isolated a lot of CBG and a lot of CBN as well. Is it better delivered in a smokable like process like this?
So, you know, inhalation is unfortunately one of the most bastardized ways of taking these products.
Sure.
One, because there's a connotation with THC like you witnessed with your neighbor. But also you look at what happened with the cartridge market.
Right.
And with people dying with the vitamin E acetate, and you know, that really turned people away from vaping products, right? Disposables. I mean, that whole part of the industry, I know everybody felt that.
Yeah.
I don't care who you were.
Yeah.
That and it still hasn't bounced back. So coming from the vape space and understanding how inhalation as a method works beyond just people looking at it as smoking is, you know, you take a gummy. Well, that has to go through a digestive tract. A lot of it is not going to get absorbed into your system.
Right.
And it's going to take a while for you to feel any effects if you do feel anything at all. Inhalation, it just bypasses all of that. You know, it goes right in your lungs, right in your bloodstream, and you're breaking that blood-brain barrier rapidly. So the other part was, you know, how are we... You know, we're going through all of this processing to get it to its purest form and to get it to like a honey oil distillate.
Right.
And then we're going to reintroduce the terpenes and all these things. And it's like, well, we can just bypass all of that. If we can get quality strains, if we can get everything intact, look, people have gone back to flower as one of the highest selling products in the THC industry, you know? Even as a consumer myself, it's like there's always something different with flower.
Right.
Like
definitely.
As great as Without the edible is or as great as the concentrates are, there's just something about the flower. So another thing that we had seen was in the industry, pretty much all of the same strains were present as an offering. There was like five strains that every company that was selling flower had. Right. And a lot of the packaging wasn't very transparent and you didn't really know what the breakdown was.
Right.
So we wanted to, you know, one, we wanted to come up with find new genetics that weren't as present in the industry and give people a new offering with that. We wanted to be able to let people know how this breakdown was so that if it works well for them, they can look for other strains with a similar profile.
Right. I should say each one, I've got a container right here, and each container, like this one was called Jupiter. There's another one called Stormy Daniels, and I want to know where the names came from as well. We'll talk about that in a minute. But right on it, it says CBG, 0.69%, CBD, 9.38%, THC, A9.13%. So you know exactly what is in this.
Right. And that just wasn't really present in anything that we could find in the industry.
Definitely.
Especially at the time. And then, you know, there's the jars, and there's a lot of people are using glass and it's breaking and it wasn't keeping it. It was just, look, everybody seemed to be doing the same thing when it came to packaging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we love taking packaging as a challenge and an art, right? So it was like, how do we come up with something that's different? How do we come up with something that's going to stand out? How do we get new genetics and new strains? And the other thing that we liked about flower was it was entry-level price point. So people can try something like this and not break the bank.
Right.
If you want to go into a CBG or a CBN tincture, it's going to be at least a $50 product.
Yeah, entry level, $50 to $70 easy.
Is still going to be really low and in concentration to try to hit that price point. And it was just like, how are we going to be able to get this out to a lot of people and get people the ability to try it? And then from an efficacy standpoint, you know, we tested it. So smoking flower had the fastest and the most effect out of any product that we had tested.
I completely agree. Internally.
So it's not like we didn't hire out a huge case study to be done, but look, if out of 20 people, 90% of them are seeing the best effect from flower,
right?
For me, that means something. So it's just kind of interesting to see that this most simple approach can potentially be the most effective.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to roll out Moon Rocks, which have the flower dipped in distillate and then rolled in keef. And then we're also reintroducing other terpenes to that.
Oh, wow.
But again, it's going back to smoking.
Yeah.
And the inhalation side is just something that I think is, I don't want to say game changer because it's been around forever, but there's just something, about lighting it on fire. I'm a huge advocate of vaping as well, because it is a safer way. You don't have the combustion. But it's tough. It's tough because you typically need to create a formula for that.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but you know, taking the flower and lighting it on fire, that's about as natural.
It sounds like we've just been
keeping it as natural and as simple as you can.
Yeah, like we've just been overthinking it basically and doing it all these different scientific ways when this is the old school way to do it and it works just fine. Can I ask from a business point of view or perspective, I guess, which is more expensive, cooking it down and turning into a distillate or setting up a system to just pre-roll flower? I mean, is it cheaper on the business side too, or is it still pretty much the same?
It's, you know, you would think that it's cheaper. The machinery is not much cheaper,
right?
You know, in one thing. And then there's variables. So we have high quality control, you know, everything gets looked through multiple times, and there is some waste there. You know, if there's mold, that's an issue. So even though these are third party tested and there's no microbials, you still have to go through and make sure that there's not one nug that got moldy from the inside out because
right.
it was too close to a different nut. Like there's a lot of quality control and there's a lot more waste than I think most people would think. But you know, another thing was we watched the market crash with isolate.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Big
we watched
time.
Isolate go from at 1,600-1,700 to under $1,000 in a matter of 6 months.
Jeez.
You know, that's a whole off crash.
Yeah.
And what that did is it hurt a lot of these farmers. So, you know, farms got to a point where if they're sitting on biomass, not to go off on a tangent, I will answer your question.
No,
if they're
please.
Sitting on biomass, and there's a processor that's like, yeah, we'll do a split toll process for you. You have to pay this amount, and then we take 50%, you keep 50%. It got to the point where that farmer could go and buy the distillate for cheaper than he would be able to go and toll process his own biomass.
Ridiculous.
So now you have this farmer that's getting absolutely just beaten up by massive labs to the point where they're able to make the product that he's growing
right
for cheaper than he would be able to himself. So it was an unsustainable business model. God,
you're,
right?
You're right back to soybeans and corn at that, you know, at that level.
Right.
Basically.
So with flour, we can pay a higher rate for it than you can for biomass, a substantial rate, 10x. Sure. Right. So look, I would rather pay a fair value to a farmer for flour and help support him in ensuring that he's going to grow next year.
Right.
So I have a true organic farm of generational farmers that can produce our crop. I'm not a farmer. I'm a marketing guy and a brand development guy, you know?
Fair enough.
And we set up systems, manufacturing, and that kind of stuff.
Farming is hard work, man. It sucks. I mean, ugh. I wouldn't want to be a farmer either.
That's a very tough job. So it, you know, in our marketing material, we touch on this is, you know, a big part of our mission again is to support these American farmers.
Right.
Because these are usually the first guys that get pinched. So, you know, do we pay a little more than we should or than we can? Yeah. I mean, there's always a better deal out there and there's always somebody that, you know, maybe this was their only thing and they're just trying to get out.
Right.
And you see that a lot. You see a lot of people coming into this industry and going right back out. So, you know, we want to build a relationship with farmers. We want them to not have to deal with a lot of these joke brokers that take advantage of situations or these toll processing labs that sign these people up for something that they have no idea what the outcome is really going to be.
Right.
Until they, you know, and now all of a sudden they've lost their whole crop or they've lost their whole investment or they're sitting on a product that they can't sell. They don't have distribution channels. They don't have manufacturing and brand development teams and all this stuff. And they can't go sell it under market value.
Yeah.
So it's really put them in tough positions. So just as important as it is to us for us to help the people that we make products to, we want to be valuable on the back end with farmers and with other vendors and support these other businesses because it really does take all of us to make these great products.
That's so awesome.
You know, it's a different process. I wouldn't say it's cheaper. It's very expensive to deal with, you know, isolated cannabinoids and formulations and dialing in formulations and making sure that your numbers are right and they test out correctly and it's consistent throughout big batches. That, you know, there's quality control measures that go into that, no doubt. But people that think, you know, you're just throwing these things into a pre-roll and throwing them into a bag.
Right. There's a lot, bunch of dudes a lot more just sitting around that like, that's you know, a good looking one, bro. Next. Sure it's not exactly right. How it works.
Yeah.
So what is the future of herb? Where do you go from here? Are you guys going to be looking into like more of the pre-rolled different strains, stuff like that? Where do you go from here?
Yeah. So with herb, you know, we rolled out a CBG strain and, you know, our goal with CBG is to get it to a better consumer price point. We want people to be able to try CBG.
Right.
We're really excited about these strains that are rich in CBG. I think that that's going to be a cannabinoid that you hear a lot about this year.
Definitely.
Hopefully when people get back out there.
Yeah.
So we're excited to roll that out. We're rolling out the Moon Rocks. So we're doing a strain specific Moon Rock for CBD.
Cool.
As well as CBG. So we're doing a CBG Moon Rock. We do believe that that's the first to market, but maybe somebody else has done it. But we're excited to do CBG Moon Rock. That's going to entail CBG distillate. It's also going to have CBG Keef. So we're rolling those out again, very transparent on the packaging. So people can see the strain of distillate, the strain of Keef that's used and the strain of the flower that's used. And we're pairing those two SKUs also with the caviar cones, which will be the pre-rolled joint dipped in distillate and then rolled around in the keef too.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah, I want to try that. So that sounds really cool.
Those are the next, definitely get you some to try out. Are the next SKUs. Everything's in. So those should go into production and we should be looking at a week or two to launch on those. We'll definitely launch them digitally and get them online. Cool. But you know, we'll get some samples out to you over there.
Awesome. So
you can try them.
I appreciate that.
Your neighbor can ask you about those too.
Hey, thanks for coming on. This has been really good. And it sounds like you guys, I love the packaging. You guys are doing a hell of a job. And I really like the idea that it's just simple and it's the old way to do it. And if the old way isn't broken, we don't need to fix it, you know?
Right.
And when you do it responsibly and you take care of the farmers and you know what you've got, you have a great product.
That's it. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid. Someone once told me.
Exactly. Kids. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, man. Again, I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Nick for joining me on the show. He's a busy guy with a lot of cool stuff coming, and you'll hear more about it right here on ministryofhemp.com. If you want to find more information about Lifted Liquids and everything they have going on, including herb and their pre-rolled hemp joints, I will have links to all things Lifted Liquids in the show notes for this episode over at ministryofhemp.com. That brings us to the end of another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. My name is Matt Baum. I have been your host, and I cannot thank you enough for downloading, for listening, and for interacting with us on this show. We love to hear from you. You can email me directly at matt@ministryofhemp.com with any questions or comments about the show. You can call us at 402-819-6417 and leave a message with your hemp-related questions. Myself and ministryofhemp.com editor-in-chief Kit O'Connell like to collect a bunch of them and then answer them on the show. And I think we're going to have another Q&A show coming up real quick here. Huge thanks goes out to everyone that has jumped on our Ministry of Hemp patron. You can find that at patreon.com/ministryofhemp. Any donation will make you a Ministry of Hemp insider, and it really does help us to get this message out there. If you believe in what you hear on this show and what you read on our site, please help us out and help us spread that message even louder and further by becoming a Ministry of Hemp patron. This week, the podcast extra is going to be with Nick, and we are talking about where they got the names for their pre-rolled joints, and it's a pretty fun little story, so I hope you dig it. Be sure to head over to ministryofhemp.com and read that story that I mentioned about Charlotte. I'll have a link to that in the show notes. There's also an excellent article about how to start a white label CBD business. Very cool stuff for anyone looking to get into the hemp or CBD business. Be sure to check us out and follow us at Ministry of Hemp or /Ministry of Hemp on all of our social media platforms. And I know I said it earlier, but right now it's very important. Remember, we've got to buckle down, we got to wash our hands, we got to stay away from large groups of people, and we've got to beat this coronavirus crap together. So, when I say this, I really mean it, okay? Remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum and the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.